Hey everybody, this is your host, LaVie. Welcome to Thrift Therapy, the podcast all about thrift life. Recycling, collecting, DIYing, all the ups and downs, ins and outs of thrifting. So glad you joined me for this thrift adventure. Welcome to Thrift Therapy. Glad to be here today. The record you hear playing in the background is by Cal Smith. And I'm going to start the podcast with something I haven't done before, a correction. Like, we're just getting started. How could I have messed up already? Well, that's because the interview I'm going to play I recorded a few weeks ago. And in the interview, I'm singing the praises of Cal Smith, but the whole time I'm calling him Carl Perkins, who is like a real person with his own country swagger and illustrious career in country music, but they're not the same person and they don't have the same sound. The song that I'm playing for you is a song that I talk about a bit in the interview you're going to hear a little bit later on, and it's the saddest song I think I've ever heard.
I said, Mama, there's good cold water in the icebox. I fetched it up fresh late this afternoon. She said, son, now you be good.
This song about this boy who goes out to get water and then he comes back and his mom is dead. Oh, it breaks my freaking heart. The name of the song is Son, Run to the Spring. Also got the title of the song wrong, you guys. Look, when you get to be my age, a lot of your memories just smush together. Speaking of memories, the name of this record is I Just Came Home to Count the Memories, which is also a pretty sad song. Listen, if you need to cry and you like country music and you're into vintage vinyl, you probably should grab a copy of this record because Cal Smith knows how to bring the tears. He really does. Like, he really seems to get the whole crying in my bourbon aspect of country music, maybe better than anyone. I actually have a great number of his records because I myself like to have a good cry to cathart, to cleanse my palate, to release my sadness, because I don't like it to build up inside of me. That's not a good feeling. I recommend this record. In fact, I recommend all Cal Smith's records. I like every single one I have. So if you run across the album, I Just Came Home to Count the Memories by Cal Smith in a thrift store, get it. I will give it 5 Nagels out of 5. No Fagels, totally full on Nagels. This is a really good record. I mean, if you don't like to cry, I'd skip it. Because you might cry. Let's see. I have a lot to tell you guys about today. It has been a busy 2 weeks. I actually missed releasing a podcast last week, even though I actually very much needed the time off, and I used it wisely. I socialized with some friends. I rested. I relaxed. I didn't do much work at all. And I have to say, it really paid off because all week long, I just had this really good mood going on, even when some really bad things started to happen. My husband backed into my car with his car. That's not fun. Both cars. Had to go to the shop and get some body work done. Yikes. Let's see. Also, my dog got really sick and started vomiting everywhere the other night. And then he couldn't walk for like almost a whole 24 hours. He was like spinning in circles on the ground. So we take him to the vet and the vet says, oh, he's got old dog disease. And I was relieved because it goes away on its own and he is fine now. So everybody relax. We don't have to go to the well for some water. Sam is fine. But it was scary, you guys. I was terrified. Like, I stayed up with him all night. I laid down on the floor with him for about 5 hours and I couldn't move my body very well the next day. So that was bizarre. In spite of all those difficulties, my mood was good all week. I just felt empowered. I felt equipped to handle the stressors. And I felt like even though some bad things are happening, life is generally good. And I credit that to meeting my needs, taking a little time off, relaxing, socializing with some people in my life that I really value, and recharging. So listen, you guys got to do your self-care, okay? You got to have more than one kind of self-care too. Because if you've been listening to this podcast from the beginning, you know that I started it as a way to do self-care. And then I had to do some self-care because of my self-care. That's the way people are. We're like that. When something becomes energy out, you have to find new ways to put energy in. And as of lately, the podcast has been a lot of energy out because they've been having to learn so many things. And that brings me to my other news that I want to tell you guys about. I went to the Podocalypse this past weekend, and I just got back today, which is Sunday the 26th. And I got to tell you guys some stuff that happened. It was pretty fun. Well, first of all, I have to say, I get some social anxiety in situations where I'm networking or situations where there's like a party going on and I don't know anybody. And so I went up there by myself and I definitely had some social anxiety and I definitely had some moments where I felt really awkward and I said awkward things and then I replayed them in my head for like hours. You know how it is if you have social anxiety because that's the way it works. But I have a lot of courage and I usually just push through it, which that's what I did yesterday as well. And because I was able to push through the social anxiety, I met some really cool people. I really enjoyed talking with the podcasters there. And I learned some really cool things about podcasting, about reaching out to other people, about producing a podcast, about networks. I learned a lot of stuff because people were, as I anticipated, very friendly, very nice, and very helpful. And also, they were pretty funny, right? So I liked that. We shared a lot of jokes, we had some drinks, and we acted silly. And that was a good time. I will go into some of the details about the Podocalypse in my next episode because I want to sit down and kind of document everything. So you can look forward to that in the next episode. I'll go into more detail. Since I just got back today, it's still running around in my head and I'd like to spread it all out and organize it. And I can't do that before I get the pod out tonight. So stay tuned for that. I'm going to put a pin in it. And we'll revisit it next week. In other news, I want to give some love to my Patreon subscribers, especially my Thrift Bag subscribers, because they've been giving me some fabulous reviews in Facebook groups this week that we're a part of. And I want to read a few of them for you. First review I want to read is by Melise. She got her thrift bag. This was her second one. And here's what she said. Oh my God, you guys, I got my second thrift bag of goodies from LaVie last night. I was legit holding back tears of happiness because I fucking love it all. I'll have to post pics later when I'm back home. If you've been on the fence about signing up for her monthly bag, do it in all caps. That makes me feel amazing because that you are almost on tears. Oh, that is my dream come true. Super excited to hear that it really hit the mark and made you feel just lovely inside. That's everything. I really appreciate you taking the time to write me about it. And I hope you go over to Thrift Therapy, the Facebook group, and post some pics. That would be really, really cool to see how you put everything together. Now, as a comment on this post, Kim, who's one of my longtime thrift bag subscribers, I mean, longtime like since the beginning, right? Which wasn't that long ago, but still, she's been around. She said, same, same, same. She's a thrifting magician. And then Gina, who's another bag subscriber, she commented and said, when I went through my clothes, my thought was literally, there's no way I'm lucky enough to own these items. The items she sent are gorgeous. All three of those comments just, well, you know, Cal, you might have to take a second fiddle to my Patreon subscribers because they're bringing tears to my eye too. All puns intended, because you guys know that I love a good pun. So let me read the full comment by Gina Marie, who I just talked about, because this really hit home for me because I didn't even know what a box service was when I started these thrift bags. Somebody suggested it to me. I looked them up and I was like, yes, I can do that. So here's what she said. My Stitch Fix box came in today and I was disappointed. Normally I love it, but it was just an all-out miss for me this month and last month. I was pretty bummed out. But just now, I started to lay down and realize there's some clothes and a purse in my bed. I picked them up and I have no clue where they came from. But I was in love with the items. I was trying to figure out where they came from and finally I find the package they came in. It was my thrift box. My daughter got it out of the mail when she came home from school and opened it and left it in my bed but didn't tell me. What an amazing surprise. The pieces you picked for me were spot on. And I really love them. Thank you so much, Levy. I mean, you guys, that's the best. I don't even know what to say. It just really, I don't know. It feels amazing to have two jobs. This one, the thrift therapy, is becoming a job for me, a stylist job and a podcasting job. And my regular full-time job, I love them both so much. And I feel so incredibly lucky to have two ways to be in touch with people, just warming their hearts and being with their experiences. And I don't even know what else to say about it except that I just feel really, really lucky. And I thank you all so much for participating and letting me have these experiences along with you. I want to thank people who went over and gave me some 5 stars on iTunes. I didn't meet my goal of 50 yet, so let's still hit that. But I definitely increased and I'm getting closer. I'd really like to hit 55 stars by next week. So if you haven't done it, head on over to iTunes and hit those stars. It's super easy. It only takes a second. You don't have to write anything. You just click the stars. And that just really, really helps with my ranking because I'd like to get noticed just a little bit more, expand the reach a little bit. And that would be amazing if you guys can mobilize and help this podcast out. If you want to take the time to write a review, I'll read it on air, and you know I will give you a shout out if you need or want one. If you want to plug your Instagram page, I will shout that out. Just write me a review. Tell me the things, okay? Because I love all y'all. Thrifty people are amazing. And last night at the Podocalypse, I met some very cool thrifty people. Thank you all so much for coming out. And you were all wonderful. Well, I think that's enough of that. I want to get into the topic today because it is one of my favorites. It's record collecting. Now, you guys have heard me talk about this before. I'm super excited to have another vinyl collector on for the interview segment. But I thought this time I would do a little vinyl collecting 101 education maybe. And I thought maybe I would learn something about the vinyl world that I really don't know because I don't spend much time researching that. One of the things that I thought would be really fun to talk about is record players because, you know, collecting vinyl is really cool and fun and all, but if you don't have a record player, it's kind of useless. I mean, they're basically just like having pictures, which is pretty cool. I have to admit, album art is amazing. But nonetheless, most of us who collect vinyl, we really want the sounds too. We want the records too. Now look, because I want to keep the segment relatively short, I'm not going to be an expert on it. I just thought I would run over a few things. Keep your expectations moderate for my genius right now, okay? But I think I want to start with old record players because as Emmalene, my guest, and I discuss in the interview, the record players of yore actually are better than the record players of now. And that's kind of a bummer if you ask me. Technology generally works the other way, right? Where record players should be getting better, not less good. I think, in my view, the main thing that makes record players not as good now as they used to be is, number one, they don't have any style. They're only functional. And they're only seem to be designed functionally for playing one record at a time and maybe using a mixing board and doing like a DJ thing. They seem to be missing a whole market for vinyl collectors. Like if you Google multi-record player, you'll be surprised at how sparse the results are. So one of my big gripes about modern record players is that they don't have a caddy that allows you to stack records and then drops them down. Maybe about 7 or 8 years ago, I had a vintage Magnavox console player that worked for a while. And it had a drop arm function. I'll talk about it in the interview, so I'll save some of that for then. But the drop arm function was so incredibly useful. What it allows you to do is play hours of music. You know, so now we have Spotify. You can play literally days of music if you want to, right? You have your MP3 players, yada, yada, yada. But the thing is if you're a vinyl collector, without transferring your vinyl to some medium like that, you're stuck generally with a one record function. So some people say that, okay, let me just read you this because this is pretty, I think it's pretty funny. Stacking LPs on a spindle is poor record care. I mean, the judgment there, right? Like, so judgy. Working in a record store with used vinyl, I can't tell you how many times I've seen a record in decent shape be quarter binned because of the telltale friction ring from stacking. Okay, look, I get what you're saying, Harlan, but I have to tell you, not everybody's in it for the same reasons, and I'd really like to get more than 15 or 20 minutes out of my listening time before I have to go walk over and flip over my record manually. So, like, I know if you're a purist and you really want to be approaching vinyl collecting as this ultra serious thing, which is not me, and I don't think my guest is in that category either, I would really, really like for somebody to solve this problem a different way than just going, poo-poo, no to that, that's not good. I mean, look, if we just threw away every idea that needed to be modified and updated because it didn't work perfectly, I don't think innovation would be a thing. So I just don't understand why somebody hasn't solved that problem in a newfangled way. I mean, that seems ideal to me, but from what I can tell, what people want you to do, now here's a couple of ideas that I read in the same forum, which is on Reddit, of course. So this guy says, I bought a nice dual belt drive turntable with record changer mechanism a few years ago on eBay. I paired it with an AT440 MLA cartridge. The combination works well and sounds good. It seems to treat my records with reasonable gentleness. Now listen, SG Bassett, I totally think that sounds like a great idea, but I don't know what you're talking about because I don't really know what an AT440 MLA is. That I would need somebody to do that for me. I'm not that technical, you know? Like, I don't understand what you're really saying. but I'm sure it's a great idea. Which brings me to something I noticed looking on the internet to get more information about turntables, which is, by the way, what people call them now ubiquitously instead of record players. It's turntables. But I digress. Let me say what I'm finding is the snob, the technical wizard, that's a whole group of vinyl collectors. I'm neither one of those. And then I think there's your vintage person who just likes vintage things. Maybe they're a nostalgic like me. I'm very nostalgic. Records were a part of my childhood. I like older records and it always takes me back in time a bit. So I'm not a purist. I am not a technical wizard. I'm definitely in this other category of just a casual collector who likes old things. So I want a solution for more record play that doesn't involve the suggestion to get a record player. Let's talk about new record players now, turntables, right? So new turntables have all these fancy kinds of things going on. Like some of them have USB ports on the front and you can upload your music from your record onto your computer and then play endless hours of music. But that's, I don't know, like maybe that's where the little piece of me that's a purist kicks in. It's not the same. I don't feel the same. I know some people who read books and collect books have a similar ideology that they struggle with maybe reading a book on a Kindle versus buying the actual paper book. There's sort of a visceral experience that comes with playing the record that I enjoy. I don't want to get rid of that. I just want to play more than one record at a time. So let me give you a rundown on some pricing for each of these different options that you have. Let me start with the plug-and-play player. That's for your newbie who's just getting started, does not very technically minded, wants something easy, or is in between. If you're in between turntables, this can be a good solution. I always have a plug-and-play on hand because record equipment is just prone to breaking in my house and I need emergency way to play my records. So it's a go-to. I always have one. They're pretty cheap. You can get them on Amazon is a really good place to look for these turntables. And what you want is to look at a stereo turntable that's all in one. It's got the speakers, it's got the record player, it's got a USB port on the front so you can transfer your vinyl to your computer if you want to do that. And some of them have Bluetooth functionality too, which is really nice. These run you anywhere from around $45 to $100. You can get a really decent player for that price. If you get one with a stereo jack, you can also put in headphones and you can upgrade your speakers too. So I recommend every record collector have one of those on hand for when your stylus is broken or you have to order new needle cartridges or blah, blah, blah. There's always something going on. It is in the case of my console, the wiring decayed. So that's a good option. If you want to go the DJ route and maybe you're like a technophile and you really enjoy technology, looking at single playing turntables is probably the way to go, especially according to Reddit. And you can definitely look at Best Buy is a really good place to get a lot of turntables in that arena. And a popular one there seems to be Audio Technica. And they have a range of prices you can get. Now, this is just the turntable alone. And those run you about $80 to $250. It's quite a wide range of prices there. And I don't really know that much about them because, like I said, that's not my preferred way of listening to records. But it does seem that Best Buy has a pretty good array of price points for these kinds of turntables. And then I've also seen them out at thrift stores. And in particular, Goodwill, I sometimes see some of the Goodwills around town, at least in San Antonio, do have a pretty big electronic section. And occasionally I'll see turntables in there. But for these kind of turntables, you do need other equipment. You know, you're going to need mixing boards or you're going to need a component-based stereo system to hook them up to. To get that authentic vintage sound, the console record player is my preferred option. Now, you're going to have to get out and do the thrifting because these are a little bit harder to find. It's been a while since I've seen one here in my neck of the woods, but I do see them occasionally. When I see them in store, they usually run around $100 to $200. I don't usually see them for more than that, but again, I see them so infrequently, I guess I could see them for more than that. That could happen. Now, you can look on eBay, but they widely range in price. The cheapest one I saw when I looked today was $45, but it doesn't seem to be working. But then I do see them ranging all the way up to $1,500 for a mid-century vintage one that seems to be in perfect condition, and it is beautiful, but I'm just not going to pay $1,500 for a record player. I don't know about you, that's just not thrifty enough for me. This is definitely my preferred way to play records, though. It does really have that quality scratchy sound that I really enjoy, and most of them will have a drop arm function, which I just think is really, really helpful. So that's all I want to say about record players. You can pick your component based on your style of collecting, I think. If you want to talk more about record players, I would love to hear from you. You can email me at thrifttherapypod@gmail.com, or you can go to my website, which is thrifttherapypod.com, and you can message me through that. I'd love to have you on the show. If you know a lot about record players, maybe you can educate me further and educate our listeners and help us find some good ways to hear those fabulous vintage tunes that we like buying so much. I think this is a really good time to bring on my guest, so let me go ahead and cue up the interview.
Hi, okay. Are you there, Emmeline?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. Why don't you start by telling the listeners and me a little bit more about yourself than I already know?
Okay. I'm an avid thrifter. I've been thrifting pretty much my whole life. I learned a lot from my mother and my grandmother, so my life revolves around thrifting a lot, I feel like. I live in the South, so certain things are hard to find here. So that's kind of a bummer. But yeah, I'm just an avid thrifter like everyone
Very
else.
Very cool. What about thrifting? Do you do anything with thrifting, maybe to make money or to supplement your regular gigs? Like, does thrifting, do you have any side hustles involving thrifting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of my side hustles one of my side hustles right now that I've been kind of working on growing is I do buy and sell mid-century modern antiques, furniture and knickknacks and lamps and stuff on like a mid-range scale. I don't have the money to be, you know, a crazy antique person, but when I see a good piece, I buy it for usually pretty cheap, and then I can turn it around and make some money off of it. So that's something I'm getting going right now and trying to turn into a real business because it's one of my passions. I mean, if you can buy something, you can sell it. So I'm always finding anything to make money off of. I'm always hustling something.
I love that. I love a hustle. I think I've been a hustler since I was really young. It's just kind of a, maybe it's like a mindset. Like, even if I have a full-time job, I'm always doing something on the side. Like, I just need more than one thing in my life.
I agree. It's like, you're right. It's a mindset. And it's definitely, I think, for people that, especially like, I have anxiety. So for me to stop and turn my brain off doesn't usually work. So funneling that anxiety into something that can make me money, just, it kind of just took off. And now I'm the same way. I don't stop. I'm always doing something.
I appreciate that. And I think that I'm similar to some degree. But I do, my mother also has anxiety. I have anxiety. In fact, I just think my whole family is just riddled with anxiety. Like, it's just a genetic trait at this point. But watching my mother not be able to sit still, like, literally, it's not a thing she knows how to do. I do have a discipline where each day I sit and I don't do much. It's just passive stuff, like play a little game on my iPad or maybe watch a TV show or maybe just lay down, listen to a record where I just kind of, you know, just still myself, because I do think I have that tendency as well. And watching her do that just drove me nuts. And I think, oh my God, I cannot. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's on my list of don't be like your parents rules. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. I think I try to do those same things in my life too. It's important to make yourself slow down and just take a minute for yourself.
I agree. I think it's something that with all the technology, now I'm a huge fan of technology, so nobody needs to get upset right now. But I do think it's harder for me to take that still time with all the technology. I constantly want to be checking like my social media or watching a YouTube video or like listening to a podcast. And I just feel like now I also need time away from electronics. Like that's a new thing that had nothing to do with my parents. It's just sort of like maybe a new awareness I have, a boundary that I need, that some kind of self-care has to be away from electronics. So I'm working on that. Like I'm working on taking little nature outings every month or two where it's just no use for technology.
That's awesome. That's a tough thing to do, because I find myself constantly checking social media, or, you know, I'm always looking for something to buy online. Like I'm always trying to thrift something online. I agree. You'd have to take those minutes, like a couple minutes to yourself, to even just go outside and take a breath of fresh air away from technology. It makes a world of difference, I think.
Especially if you have anxiety, because my head just feels buzzy after a while, literally. Like it has like a buzzing noise in it.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, and then like, when you try to go to bed at night, it's still there.
It's like,
yes. Like there's bees in, there are bees in your brain.
Yes, yes, it's like bees. That's true.
Yes.
I do notice that. And so I have a swimming pool. One of the things that helps me is, that was on my bucket list, have a swimming pool. So I have one now, and it's trying to kill me, but when it's not trying to kill me financially, that's one of the things that helps me unplug, is I just go get in the swimming pool and then the buzzing sound is gone. And it's so great. I love it.
That is awesome. I'm jealous. I've wanted a pool for so long, especially with the heat in the South. It's sometimes, some days you're like, you can't go outside. It's awful.
I don't even know how I did yard work before I had a pool. Because now it's like, let me mow this little patch of grass, jump in the pool. Let me trim this little bush, jump in the pool. Let me have a drink, jump in the pool. Like, it's like every 15 minutes I have to get in the pool or I feel like I'm going to die. But,
yes,
I mean, I am older now, so, and menopausal. And so I guess maybe I wasn't as sensitive to the heat when I was younger. I mean, I once had a car. I mean, no, not once. I like three times had a car with no air conditioning, and I lived in houses with no central air and heat. Mm-hmm. How did I do that? Yeah. What the fuck was wrong with me? I don't even know.
I have no idea. Same here. I had one of my first cars was a Jeep, and it had no AC, and it would be so hot in the summer that I would literally drive with just no shirt on. I would just drive in my bra. Because whenever I would get somewhere, my shirt would be too sweaty. So I just started taking it off.
Yeah.
And then putting it on when I got there because it was so hot.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started on boobs. Like, not only am I older, I'm, like, super bigger than I used to be. And my boobs, too. And there is – I'm sorry, but boobs suck when it's hot. It's just all the things about boobs. Bras suck when it's hot. Boob sweat sucks when it's hot. Bathing suits, tops suck when it's hot. I mean, just all of it. So, yeah, I miss my little boobs and no bras. That's the way to go. I don't know how we got on that, but what state do you live in?
I live in North Carolina.
Okay, well, I live in Texas, so fuck you. It's hotter here. That's the way I see it.
That is true. It is hotter there. I really think it is. It's hotter and it's drier there than it is here.
Oh, God. So, it's not dry where I live, but...
Really?
Oh, no. Well, I mean, it's not as bad. It's really bad in Houston, where I lived before I lived in San Antonio. It's super humid there. Like, I can't even stand it there. Like, it's like Florida bad. It's bad. But
mine's
a little bit better. I live in San Antonio. It's not quite as bad. But yeah, it's still pretty humid. Every time I travel somewhere and come back, as soon as I step into the airport here, I can just feel the humidity. It's weird.
Yep.
So yeah, it's hot. Yep. It's miserable. Like right now, it's probably like 101 degrees outside, and it's miserable. So we digress. Back to the questions, right? So you have some side hustles, but you're also a collector, which is why I reached out to you. You seem to have a knack for collecting things and in some sort of organized way. So why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
I collect a little bit of everything, but recently, meaning 3 years ago, got into collecting vinyl. I finally started collecting records just one day randomly. There was a bin of records at this thrift store, and I started looking through it, and I ended up buying like 20 of them. And I came home and, you know, started playing these records, and people had always said, oh, everything sounds better on vinyl, and I was just like, yeah, whatever, who cares. But as soon as I put that first record on, I was hooked. I am like vintage music all the way. I will stop at nothing to collect records.
Awesome. I saw a picture of your collection online, so maybe that's something you can send to me, and I'll post it on Instagram when the episode airs. Because I like your collection setup, too. Will you describe how you're storing your records?
It's funny. When I first started collecting, my husband and I just had, like, a small little cabinet. And we maybe had, like, 10 records. And it just started exploding. So I went out to a local thrift store, and I found these old, file cabinet type things. They're open front, probably from an office in maybe the 60s. And so I have all of my records slid in these little slots vertically, so I can group them by genre or singer. But even that, I'm growing out of that now. So I had to go and buy some record crates that I'm starting to take over my office with as well. So.
Oh, that's too bad, because I liked the way it was styled in the photos. You know, it looked cute.
Yes. Yeah, I'm keeping those. And then what I do is I'll just like rotate out like the ones that I'm really into at the time, and I'll put those in the little file sections. And then that way it kind of keeps everything fresh and I don't miss any records. I can kind of go back to them.
Yeah, I definitely have records that I've thrifted that I don't listen to very often for one reason or another, like it's not cool, or maybe it's a little warpy or has a scratch I didn't notice or something like that, or it just falls out of favor, you know, like I'm just like,
yeah.
So I can see that being useful. Like, what are some of the things that you've learned about storing and collecting records in the past few years?
Well, one of the first things I learned was always, always check what's inside the sleeve. There were a few times when I got really excited about a really great find and got it home, and it was either the completely wrong record or it was so scratched up and damaged that I couldn't play it. So those are bummers, but, yeah, mostly check the condition and make sure you have the right record. And sometimes I still buy the sleeves anyway, if it's just something that I find cool and I'm looking for. But yeah, always, always check what's inside.
Agreed. I will say, though, that even though I absolutely 100% agree with that, and I do it every time, sometimes, mostly for me, what's inside, I like have liked better than what I thought I was going to find. I think I have some weird luck that way. I have a couple examples of that. I was out thrifting, just, you know, for random shit. And I went to the record section and I found a couple of hip hop albums and I pulled them out. I was like, oh, I'm totally getting these. They're 99 cents. But this Wyclef Jean album that I was going to get, I pulled it out to check the condition of the record. And it was actually Black Star, which I like about 2,000% more than I like Wyclef Jean. So I almost peed myself. I texted my best friend who we were obsessed with Talib Kweli for a while, who's one of the duo in Black Star. And I texted her and I was like, you're not going to believe what I just found for 99 cents. And of course she didn't believe it. So I had to send her a picture.
Those are the best when you find like this really weird, you're just like, I can't pass this up.
It's too good.
I agree. I also collect vintage books and for no reason. I just have a closet full of old books that are from anywhere from like the 20s to the 70s. And I picked up this book at a thrift store once called Teenagers Are People Too.
Like, obviously not.
Yeah. And it was like a book from the 60s, like for parents, all about how to cope with having a teenager. And no, I had to buy it. And I bought it and I sent a picture of it to my mom. And I was like, so did you feel like you needed this when I was growing up?
That's so good.
She's like, you were bad. Believe
it's
me.
Not true. Throw that book in the garbage. It's a burned book hour. What else is funny there? Like, I mean, oh, you know, there's always a bunch of religious records. I just saw one I posted on my Instagram the other day that said, the sound of his coming.
Yes, I laughed so hard when I saw that. I couldn't stop laughing. I showed it to my husband. But you're right. There's always an overabundance of religious records at the thrift stores.
Yeah.
Like, so many that I'm like, some poor old lady died and her family was like, nope, get rid of this shit. Exactly.
Oh my god, when I was a kid, I was really into I don't know what you would call it, but it was sort of a edgy rock and roll, and then I liked pop rock and roll, and then you know, like now they would call it heavy metal, but back then I don't think we called it heavy metal. I don't know what we called it. Maybe just metal. I think that's what we called it, metal, like AC/DC and shit like that, right? So Black Sabbath, whatever. And I grew up in the time when satanic panic was a real thing. And my parents were very religious. My dad was a preacher. And so record burnings were like a real thing that fucking happened. And let me tell you something. That shit stinks, okay? Like, I mean, it stinks metaphorically, but it also stinks literally. And then there's just all this sadness that – have you ever seen the movie with – Kate Hudson, where she's like a rock groupie. Do you know what the name of that movie is?
I can picture the cover.
Yeah, me too. Somebody's yelling at us right now the name of the movie. Anyway, there's a movie and she's a rock groupie. It's like American, I don't fucking know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's not.
Is it?
Yes, that's it.
Yes.
That's the one. Well, anyway, her mom is like, you know, a Christian. I think it's Frances McDormand, who's amazing. And she's like burning all the records. Yep. That was a real thing. I grew up with that shit.
Oh my God. That makes me so sad that all those records got
burned. I know. It's the worst. So have you ever had to start over like a collection of any type?
I really haven't. I've been lucky enough that I haven't really had to start anything over. When I first started collecting records, I found my first ever Loretta Lynn album. And I was like completely shocked because she's so hard to find and she's one of my favorites. And I found her at a thrift store and I didn't realize, like, my brain wasn't thinking, duh, you idiot, don't leave this in a hot car. It's going to be ruined. And I went to like the next place and I just left it in the car and of course
dead.
It didn't play. Yeah. So I still have it as like a reminder to like, you know, don't do that again. And I actually, the other day I went out and I thrifted and I found one record and I had a couple more stops to make. So everywhere I went, like I had this record under my arm and I'm like carrying it through the grocery store and people are looking at me weird and I'm like, I can't leave it in the car. I can't leave it in the car.
Yeah, that's a cautionary tale right there.
Definitely.
That's a good tip too. Don't leave your vinyl in the car. It doesn't like it.
Never.
It's like ice cream. Treat it like you treat
that's
ice cream.
So true.
Yeah. And it'll be okay.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter what amount of time. You can leave it in a hot car for like 3 minutes. And when you get that thing home, it's going to be warped and it's not going to play.
True, true, true. It's not good. It's going to sound wonky. What kind of record player do you have?
Honestly, we just have, we have a vintage, actually I have to look at the name of it because I'm not really sure. It's a Technics, just the turntable. And then we have the power hooked up to it. We bought it at a record store that was local where they refurbish turntables. And honestly, like I bought a vintage Panasonic that we thought was going to be great. Like it even had an 8-track, so excited. And we hooked it up, but the sound wasn't the same. So we just go back to our old Technics. And it's not even like a, you know, fancy name brand or anything, but it works.
I have a shitty little record player right now. It's just like a plug and play. I had a console one that was freaking awesome. And it had a drop, you know, it has like a drop arm so you can stack six records, yes, which is just the best. I miss that.
I wish we had that because there are times when I'm like in the middle of doing something and I'm like, oh, I gotta go put a different record on or I gotta flip. And I really wish we had one with a drop arm. But hopefully I'm on the hunt for a console that works.
Yeah.
I found a few, but people here like to shabby chic everything. And no offense to people that love shabby chic. If that's your thing, awesome. But here, people like to take the old console record players and gut them and then paint them like seafoam green or something and use it as a buffet or whatever. And that breaks my heart so much every time.
I get it. It can be hard to find all the parts for those. So the reason I ended up getting rid of the console I had was the stereo still worked, but the arm, the how's the needle? The needles were impossible to find for that one. So I'd have to replace the arm. The wiring was all decayed, so I'd have to get it rewired. I mean, it just turned into a big saga, and I was like, fuck it. But I am getting a new one. My grandfather is giving me his old one. And as far as I know, it still works. And I remember setting around that with Christian records when I was just a wee lass. And it has a drop arm. Yeah. And I remember it opens in the middle of the console. And it has a little shelf that slides out. And that's what the record player's on. So it was different than mine. Mine was like this tabletop one. Yeah. Like it opened on top, but this one opens on the front. So I'm really excited about it.
That's awesome. And I love the fact that like you have the history of the piece. So every time you use it, you can have, you know, the memories of listening to it with your grandfather. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I'll be like, see what's playing on this now. Here's a little Black Sabbath for you. You tried your best. Well, didn't work.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm the worst. I know. Well, you know, all those Jesus lessons, they just didn't take. What can you do?
Yeah. And I grew up in a very Christian household too. So I was raised every morning. And actually what made me start collecting vinyl, I've always loved vinyl ever since I was a kid. My dad had a record collection. He collected a lot of older country music. And when I was a kid, every Sunday morning we would have to go to church. So the way my dad would wake us up is he would put Johnny Cash Ring of Fire on the record player and just blare it throughout the house. And that's how we woke up on Sunday mornings.
All right. It's like fire and brimstone. Let's get started.
Exactly. Like, you're going to go to hell if you don't get up and get dressed.
That's funny. Yeah, the fear conditioning just actually backfired.
So
what do you think, like, some of your favorite record finds are?
Wow. My all-time favorite artist is George Jones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's the first song I remember listening to on a record was a George Jones song, listening to that as a kid with my dad. So I found at a record shop in Boone, and George Jones is so hard to find. Like, I've gone thrifting for him. I've just short of buying him online. Like, he's hard to find thrift wise. But I went to a record shop in Boone with my husband in Boone, North Carolina. And we were just like, yeah, let's look at some records, whatever. And I generally don't go to record shops that often just because I'm cheap and I really like a bargain. So, but we walked in and I happened to be flipping through records and I found George Jones' Love Bug album, which is one of the earlier ones from when he was pretty young and adorable. And so I think it cost like $5 maybe. And we bought it and ran out of there and I was so excited. But where we were staying, we have an Airbnb up there. We didn't have a record player, so I couldn't listen to it for like, and it was just like killing me.
What makes you like George Jones so much?
I think it's really just because when I was a kid, there's one of his songs from his first 45. She Thinks I Still Care. My dad used to listen to that song with me. And the way that he enunciates words when I was a kid, I thought it was really funny. So we would always listen to the song together. And I think now when I listen to him, it makes me feel like I feel more emotion towards his music because I have such good memories with it. So it's just, my parents live far away. So it's almost like having a piece of my dad with me when I can listen to George Jones. Mm. And it's really nostalgic and makes me feel weepy sometimes, but good in a good way.
Yeah.
I just love him. I love his music. He has major talent and, he didn't even want to start recording music, which is what I think is cool about him. He just was kind of like, you know, whatever. Yeah, I guess I'll do this song for you if you pay me, you know, and his career just like exploded. So
I think he was kind of a dick though.
Yeah, he was. He was a total dick. Like, he was an alcoholic. And I remember there's one story about him where he actually like, his family took his car keys away and he rode his riding lawnmower like to the liquor store. Yeah. He wasn't a nice guy by any means, which I think most like vintage, like rock and rollers and country stars, like they weren't nice people.
Yeah. They needed therapy for sure.
They did.
I was, I have a Tammy Wynette album, but I was trying to think, I don't think I have a George Jones album. And I have a significant amount of old country. It's one of my favorite things to collect. And I don't think I have a George Jones. I have a lot of Carl Perkins. Do you know who that is?
I do, but I haven't come across any Carl Perkins down here, surprisingly.
He's real good. He's like the unsung Johnny Cash. He's real good. Like, one of his records that I have, it has a song on it called Bring Me Some Water, and if I need to cry and I'm just like totally detached and I can't get the tears out and I'm all backed up with unprocessed emotion and sadness, I just put this record on, and without fail when I hear this one song I start to cry. It's the saddest fucking song I've ever heard. It's about this kid who's like, mom is dying and they live on a farm and she knows she's gonna die. And so she's like, honey, go get me some water from the well. I need some cold water. And by the time he gets back, she's fucking dead.
Oh God, that's so sad.
I know,
sad.
I feel like I'm gonna cry right now.
Like, that's
the saddest shit I've ever heard. And he wrote a song about it, you know, like,
oh my God. Yeah, I'm gonna have to keep an extra good eye out for Carl Perkins then. I didn't realize that might be my go-to cry song too.
I mean, it's fucking the shit. Like, it's, you know, the song that I used to cry to was All the Girls I've Loved Before by Willie Nelson, because I used to be a bit of a player and leaving a string of broken hearts behind me back in the day. And I really, you know, really resonated with that song, like, you know, I'm sorry, I'm such a jerk. Like, please forgive me. I didn't mean it. You know, like, yeah, yeah. I would cry. I could get some tears out there. Well, now, you know, that's 20 years and it's irrelevant now. So that doesn't do it for me. But now I have a kid, I'm a mom, you know, like I get it now.
Oh,
so now
yeah.
It's this song. This is the cathartic cry my face off. Okay, I feel better. I'm not dead yet, so yeah. It's going to be all right song. Yeah. And there's another one. Yeah. It's a Willie Nelson song though. It's but it's very romantic. It's called I Am the Forest. Have you heard that song?
I've heard it, but I'm not super super familiar.
It's so good. If anybody listening should go YouTube, I Am the Forest. If you need a song about romance in your life that makes you feel good, this is the one. Anyway, he's older, and it's on Tougher Than Leather, which is a great record. And he's talking about how couples are a team, basically. And the song is like, I am the forest and you are the trees. It's really... It's really amazing. It is like the best wedding song in the history of all wedding songs.
I have a good one. And if it's going back to George Jones, He Stopped Loving Her Today, which wasn't written by George Jones, but he was the only one to sing it with feeling, in my opinion. And that song makes me cry. He recorded that song. I forget who wrote it, but they came to him and they were basically like, look, you're about to sputter out as an artist. Do you want to do this song? Because nobody else wanted to do it because it was so sad. And he was like, sure, I'll record it. And he recorded it and it brought his career back. And that song was, oh my God, they played that at his memorial service for his wife. And like every time I listen to the song, I imagine her hearing that at her husband's funeral, and I just bawl my eyes out every time.
I hope everyone's crying real hard right now, because that's what you need to be doing. You need to be crying real hard.
Yes.
And just in case let's talk about the saddest country song of all time. Hurt by Johnny Cash.
Oh, man. Yes.
That song.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. You like tears start falling like the first note, like your eyes are just like, I know what's coming. You don't even have to play the rest.
Yeah,
it's such a good song. Such a good song.
I don't think there's anybody in existence that if they really listen to that song could go, yeah, no, I don't get it.
Oh, I don't.
He's like, yeah, no, I don't understand that song. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, not a person I think I would want to be around.
Yeah, fuck you, right? Like, I don't want to be around somebody who doesn't understand that song. Like, we would have nothing in common. Go away.
Exactly. That'll be a question I'll ask people when I first meet them. So, do you understand Hurt by Johnny Cash? If the answer is ever no, then I'm good. We don't need to be friends.
That's perfect. It's like a screening song. Yeah. You can have like a little test. What's your favorite rendition of this song? And if they say Nine Inch Nails, they're dead to you.
They're dead. Exactly. Exactly. I will show them the
that's
door.
Funny. All right, well, put your handkerchiefs away. We'll move on to something a little lighter. What about anything else you collect?
I collect vintage family photos of people.
Ew,
I don't know.
Creepy.
Yeah, well, I know, it's so weird. I just feel so bad for them. Like, at the thrift store, they're just thrown on a shelf with, like, a sticker for 50 cents. And I'm like, I just feel so bad. So I actually started buying them, and I have them hung in my hallway. Like, it's just all of these framed photos of people I don't know.
If you could see my face right now. Okay, there's like a meme with a little blonde girl in it, like in a car seat or something, and she's making a total stink face. That's the face I have right now. Like, it's just a stink face. Like, I don't want to be in that hall. I don't want to be anywhere near those pictures. No. Two bad things. Number one, they're probably haunted. Number two.
Well,
you got to hear number two before you debunk that one. At least one of them was killed by somebody. And I just don't know what the police would think if they found you with their pictures.
Oh, wow. I never thought about that.
So either one, you're going to get haunted, or two, you're going to get arrested.
So two bad things. You're right. Well, I mean, I haven't been haunted yet, so I'll keep my fingers crossed on that one. I mean, yeah, I don't think I've been haunted. Nothing weird has happened in my house since I've hung them up. So we're good on that one. And I guess I won't know if somebody in those photos was murdered unless the police show up.
Yeah, it'll be too late. Too late, girl, too late. But I'll, you know, maybe I'll just send them the podcast and I'll be like, look, we talked about it.
This is what happened.
You know, like, I hope this helps. Yeah, I don't know. I've heard stories about haunted pictures, but more than that, I've just watched too many horror movies. Like, no, like, weird boxes that you find on the side of the road. Like, don't pick that shit up. And don't hang pictures of old people you don't know in your house. Like, those are givens. Yeah.
Yeah, see, I used to think it was weird. And then one day I was just like, I'm going to buy it. The first one I bought was actually this picture of this little Jewish boy. And it must have been for, like, his bar mitzvah, because he has his yarmulke on. And he has, like, the Torah open. And he has, like, prayer hands. And he looks so adorable. And I was like, this is $2. How could I not buy this? Like, this poor kid. So that's what started it. And now I have, like, I think I have 10 or 12. Not all of them are hung up yet, just because I'm trying to figure out the best way to do it. But yeah.
I'm making the stink face again, because you said, like, prayer hands. Like, the only thing worse than old people pictures are kid pictures. Like,
I know, but I really like my house to be confusing
well,
to people.
I don't know if I'm an atheist or if I believe in ghosts. Like, I'm already, like, having a problem. Oh my God. Well, I guess that's as close as I get to, like, having any sort of spiritual beliefs, is I think I believe in ghosts. Like, I don't believe in them, but I'm not fully convinced that they don't exist. So it's kind of like, better safe than sorry mentality.
Yeah, because the minute you say, I don't believe in ghosts, one's going to haunt you. And then you're really going to have a problem.
I don't know what I would do. You know what I would do is I'd play, like, some fucking sad-ass country songs all day until they wanted to leave.
Exactly.
They'd be like, oh, this is just too hot. It's too hard here. We got to go somewhere else.
That's a great plan. I'll do that if my photos start.
Yeah, start playing some sad ass music. I'm crying all day.
Exactly.
They're gonna want out. Well, let's do the thrift questions. I think that'll be fun. I feel ready. All right. So, how often?
As often as you can. I can't drive past a thrift store and not go in if it's open. Like, and even if it's just, I need to just do a quick sweep and see if anything jumps out at me, or I know that store occasionally has records, I'm going to go flip through the records really fast, because you never know what you're going
to
find.
It's true. You never know. I do have to drive by them, because I have places I have to go. But if I see a new one, I make a note. I'm going there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have a list that you carry around in your head or on paper or something? Or are you just totally spontaneous?
I think it depends. Like, for records, I have I use the Discogs app. So what I do is I log every single record that I buy in that app as me having it. And then I log a list of records that I want. So that way, if I'm flipping through and I'm not sure if I have something, I can refer to that. And then if it's something I really, really want, it's on my list. But usually the ones that I really want are in my head anyway, so I don't need the list too much. And for other things, I just I just buy whatever jumps out at me. I mean, there's times when I go in a store and I'm like, I don't need a cart. And then I end up like having to get two carts because there's so many good things.
Well, what is this app you speak of?
It's called Discogs. It's a website too. I have it on my iPhone. I'm not sure if they have it on Android, but they probably do because it's a pretty big website. And basically what you do is you go on there and you can search for the album by name, or if it has a barcode, you can scan it. And it'll bring the album up and you select it as that you have it, or if you want to put it on your list for your wants. And it goes really in depth. Like, you can put in the condition of the album that you have, the condition of the sleeve, all that stuff. So you can log your entire collection right on that app. So you never, like, you'll never forget if you have something. And then you can do the same thing with the list if there are records that you want. You can put everything that you want on there. And then what it does, if you like buying records online, or if let's say it's something that's really hard to find and you know you're never just going to come across it on a thrift, if you put it on your want list, it will tell you when someone on the Discogs store has it for sale. So you can go in and buy it.
That's amazing. I think I'm going to reach out to them. I think they should sponsor my show and I should get lots of people to use it. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It really is amazing because there were times when I would be out thrifting and I'd be like, oh, I don't know if I have this or not. And you know, most of the time it's not like you're going to waste a ton of money if you're like at a thrift store and records are like a dollar or whatever. But there have been times when I wasn't sure, so I'd end up with like three of the same thing. But now I don't have that problem anymore because I can just put it all on there, and you can sort it by genre, by year. Like, you can make as many lists as you want. So now I go, oh, do I have this? Let me check. And I just pull my app up, and then it saves me the guesswork and it saves me that dollar so I can buy something else.
Yeah. And hello, space. Cause fuck, you know, you run out of space for those things.
Yes, that's so true. There's like certain albums that I won't pass up. Like, if I see a Bing Crosby album for sale, I have to buy it. Even if I have six of it. Like, at one point I had like six or seven of his Christmas album, because every time I would see it at a thrift store, I just couldn't leave it behind because I love him. So I had like, I was like gifting them out to my friends when they would come over to my house. I'm like, here, take a record.
That's funny. I mean, you know, so you have haunted hallways and Christmas albums that you're giving people. What a weird place. I love it. So what about thrift gods?
Well, since we already touched on that, the religion question a little bit, I don't know if I believe in thrift gods, but I do believe in like maybe manifesting something or like having a really good instinct. Because the other day I said to my husband, I need more Tom T. Hall records because he's one of my other favorite country singers. And literally the next day I stopped by this thrift store and I'm thrifting, like just going through the records, like flipping them, a lot of like religious ones and like weird polka stuff. And I flipped it and there was Tom T. Hall. And I was like, these are hard to find. So it's like, I think there's like some, like if you have like an instinct, like, I don't know. That's a tough question.
Yeah,
maybe there are thrift guys.
I don't know. I like them. I mean, I like them better than that biblical God I heard so much about.
Yeah. Me too.
The thrift gods seem pretty cool.
Yeah, they have helped me in the past. So you're right. Maybe there are thrift gods.
In my mind, before I talked about this on the podcast, they were like tiki gods. Like, that's how I pictured them in my mind. And I'm not sure why. But then somebody I interviewed talked about, I've interviewed a lot of different people with this question. I've got all these different versions of it. So now they're just sort of amorphous. But I think a long time ago, it was like, I would just sort of picture them as like wooden statues or stone statues. Like, they don't do anything else except organize who goes to what thrift store when. That's all they do. Like, that's their whole purpose in life.
I like these thrift gods. I hope that they give me more luck in the future.
Yeah, it's like you're walking through a forest and you come up on a clearing like in Blair Witch or something. And there are these statues, and they're like in a circle, and they all look really cool. And that is their sole purpose, is to organize all the thrift luck in the world. Who gets what when? That's just sort of how I picture them. But maybe we should make sacrifices to them if we ever find them, or something like, here's my favorite record, thank you so much, or something like that. Right. No people, obviously, they don't care about that stuff.
Right,
it would just
right.
be items. You know, they would probably want items. Like, that's what I think they would want.
Yeah, I feel like, records, or like a really good pair of vintage shoes. Like, maybe one thrift god loves shoes.
I'm pretty sure.
And maybe another one. Yeah, like, we could set up a little altar and, like, today I'm gonna I'm gonna sacrifice these shoes to the thrift god.
Totally. In fact, I think I'm gonna start an Instagram page for that. Like,
that's a good idea. That's a great idea.
here's a picture of, you know, my altar to the thrift gods today.
I'm sending up this old pearl necklace to the thrift gods.
Let me tell you what I don't need is another goddamn social media page to run. Like, I don't need that. I have so many. I don't even know what to do with myself right now.
I don't know how you keep them all straight.
Either.
Like, I am amazed. I am amazed.
Too. You know, maybe it's a good way to fight off dementia. I that's all I can say.
Probably. Right,
it's probably a game. Yeah. Okay. So, do you like to go by yourself or with friends?
Generally, I like to be by myself because and as for most people that thrift, thrifting is a process for me and it's a way for me to relax. So, I like to go by myself and take my time and really just kind of like mosey along through things. And sometimes I'll go through a store twice just because I'm that like crazy about it. Like, I have to see and touch everything, make sure it's not good.
Like, I'm sure I missed something. Like, I know.
Yes. Like, so- and sometimes I do. I go back and I'm like, how did I miss this? But, I mean, it just depends on my mood. Most times if I take people with me, I tend to not really be as focused or, like, care as much. And I'm more, like you said before, you're kind of just there to entertain and have fun. Like, you're not as serious about it when you bring friends along. Which is, like, that, and that's how I always get. Like, it's harder for me to really focus on the task at hand if I have too many people. So, yeah, I definitely prefer to go by myself.
I did have this one friend. Jules Davila, if you're listening to this podcast, hi. We were neighbors. We lived in the same, and by neighbors, I mean, I had a duplex on one side of a house and she had the other duplex. So it was pretty badass. I would hop over the balcony and we would go to the thrift stores. We would be gone all freaking day. Like, we would go to like three thrift stores. And she was just as hardcore as I was. And we would get in the thrift store we would get a cart. And I still do this. I'm sure she still does too. But by the time we would meet up again, our carts would be like mountains. You know, like, we could barely move them. And then we would just sit and go through everything.
That's fantastic. That's the best thrift buddy to have, somebody who gets you and understands. They're gonna go just as hard as you are in that store.
It's awesome. Like, I think I would actually get tired before she did, and I would be like, girl, we have to stop. Like, she's probably the only person I could ever do that with to that degree. It was, and plus it was just a time in our lives where we had that kind of time. Like, who has that kind of time now?
I don't know,
but not me. But anyway, best or worst thrift moment?
Best, I actually have a best and a worst. The best one was, I happened to be at this thrift store and I was watching the woman who worked there empty this like big rolling rack, like cart thing of all stuff she was like putting out. And it was like dishes and like Christmas decorations, all kinds of junk. And there was this box on the bottom shelf and she kept like going and getting stuff and like this box was still sitting there and I'm like, I have to know what's in that box. So I went over and I opened the box and there was like 30 vintage country records. There was like five different Patsy Cline's and like some Merle Haggard and all that. And I was like, I picked up the entire box. Like, I abandoned my other stuff, picked up the entire box and went to the register. And I think the woman gave them all to me for like $10.
No way. Oh my God. That's
my heart was like, my heart was racing so fast. Like, I And I wanted to be like, do you understand how exciting this is that you just sold me these records for $10? Like, she did not care. She was just like, take them and get out of here. Like,
no way. That's perfect. You absolutely got to keep your face chill. Like, you do not want to let the, that's the opposite response, Emmeline. No,
I know.
No, you got to be like, yeah, this piece of shit, I'll take it. What are you, $3? I'll just take it off your head. It's probably got bed bugs in it. Let me just get it.
It's so true. But isn't it so hard sometimes, like, to contain yourself?
Absolutely.
Like, there have been times when I'm like, I cannot wait to get through that line and buy that thing and get out to my car and like scream at the top of my lungs with excitement.
Totally. But like, you have to have your hands on it and pay, and then you can get excited. But until
you're absolutely,
you have got to
right.
keep your shit tight, because somebody somewhere is like, oh, I need that. And they're going to race you to it, or they're going to raise the price. They're going to be like, oh, this is Miss Smart.
Yep. Which has happened to me before. Like, I was buying these three vintage pieces of La Crusade bakeware. And this girl was like, they're $25. And I was like, okay, well, I'll take them. And like, I couldn't pick them up until like later. And I said, I'll give you $30 if you hold them for me. And I think she realized, like, she made a grave mistake in pricing them. And she said, oh, I meant $60.
No.
I said, well, 25 and 60 are really far apart. But, yeah, I think, yeah, you have to. I did. I got overly excited. And I think she knew it. I gave myself away. But that's okay.
Yeah, you've got to have, like, a poker face. That's what that song is about. Lady Gaga wrote a song about thrifting. Like, that's what that song is all about.
Exactly. It's all coming together now. I never realized it.
I know. You didn't realize it. You got to play that song before you go into the thrift store. And then you're going to be ready.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thanks for coming on this show. I really appreciate it. I had a good time chatting with you.
Oh, well, thank you. I've really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun.
Awesome. Why don't you tell everybody where your hustles are, or your social media, or however you want people to get in touch with you, if you do?
Well, I don't have as many social media pages as you do, because I can't keep my life together the way you can. And I mean, if you're in North Carolina and you need some mid-century modern furniture, you can hit me up on Facebook. It's just my personal page. It's Emmeline Kozak. And that's pretty much it. I mean, I'm still working on getting that out. And so keep a lookout for Osseous Salvage. That's what my business is called. It's up and coming. And I'll let you know when it gets bigger.
Perfect. I love it. And if you do anything exciting with your business, you should definitely reach out to me so I can have you back on this show and you can talk about it.
Oh, I will. I for sure will.
Or if you have any ghost stories, because I think that's going to happen.
Oh, I have a really, really good one. So, like, I was personally haunted. So.
Oh, my God. Well, I think I'm going
to. So, when that happens, you let me know.
Yeah, I think I am going to do, I'm going to start doing some, like, ghost story things with thrifted objects.
Yeah, I bet there are tons of stories like that. Or, like, a demon-possessed lamp or something.
Oh, my God. You know what? I just remembered, like, I mean, just out of the blue, I'd completely forgotten about this. I did see in some Facebook thing I was in that somebody had reposted, like, a screenshot of a pair of shoes that were listed somewhere. I don't think it was eBay. It was somewhere else. But it was a pair of Miu Miu shoes, which are really expensive shoes, you know.
Yeah.
Like, around $600 to $900. And somebody was like, free Miu Miu shoes, they're haunted. Like, no way. I thought that was hilarious. But it wasn't the actual selling site that I saw it on. It was like a reposted picture.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've got to be out there for sure. I'll let you
know totally.
If that happens. All right. Well, listen, stay thrifty and good luck finding the most awesome records.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, thanks for coming on for reals. I'll stop the recording there. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. That was a lot of fun.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
And I'll see you online.
What a blast that was. I'm so glad to have so many cool people wanting to come on the show and talk about thrifting with me. So good night to everyone. I just want to leave you with a couple of messages to think about between now and the next episode. If you want to submit a haunted object story for the month of October, I think I'm going to tell haunted thrifted object stories and have people come on related to that. Just send me an email at thrifttherapypod@gmail.com and give me the deets and maybe a picture of the object, or just however you want to do it, or if you just want to tell the story, that's fine too. I appreciate everyone who came out to the Podocalypse. That was a really fun time. I'm looking forward to telling you guys about that in the next episode. Also, if you haven't rated and reviewed and subscribed to Thrift Therapy, please do so. If you rate it on iTunes, it improves my ranking and helps me get noticed more and gets the show out there, which is a good thing for Thrift Therapy. I appreciate all you guys so, so much. I'm having a really good time, and I am going to sign off for now and leave you with a recommended podcast preview. Stay thrifty, everybody.
I'm B.
I'm Cece.
And this is Murder City,
True Crime of Houston, Texas. Slow down and take a trip through H-Town.
Discover the dirtier side of the Bayou City as we discuss Houston's homicides and search for answers to unsolved murders and missing persons of our community. Lean back
and keep it trill
with Murder City. Find us at murdercitypod.com
and on Twitter and Instagram at murdercitypod. Houston is out.